When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie. It is great to have you here today. On my left is Kyle Connor from Out of Spec. And Kyle went on a road trip from Colorado to Normal, Illinois, but it was probably anything but normal. You went to the Rivian R2 event at the, is it Rivian's headquarters in Normal, Illinois? I know that's where they build everything.
Yeah, I think they're technically a California company, but the factory's in Normal.
How fun. Okay, so you drove over, you got to check out a lot of what was announced at the original R2 event in California, but you didn't really get to play with anything there. So this gave you a chance to get your hands on some of what is to come from Rivian in a lot of ways and what is already at Rivian. So let's start by setting the scene and then you'll tell us all about what you did. How did you get to Normal, Illinois, Kyle?
Well, first of all, Jordan went to the Laguna Beach thing. We already have videos on that. And that was where they revealed R2, R3, and R3X. Rivian, of course, is an electric vehicle automaker based here in the U.S. They make vans, trucks, SUVs. They're awesome. And I own one. I own an R1T. I think it might be the best single product I've ever owned. I always say I don't review brands, I review individual products, but I don't think Rivian has a bad product at the moment. They have a very small portfolio, but they all rock. And well, when they announce a new product, it's a pretty big deal, especially with a startup automaker with a new idea on software integration, manufacturing, and just a different approach to how a traditional automaker would build a car. I would say a better approach. Well, we all take note, and R2 gathered over 60,000 reservations in the first day or two, something crazy like that, which is, for a brand new automaker, a lot of interest in their new vehicle. And the R2 is a sort of Tesla Model Y direct competitor. It is a small to mid-size electric SUV, but the inside's very airy, and it's boxy, so you can actually fit a dog in it. And it has some very promising specs with a starting price, they claim, of $45,000 and a range on certain versions of over 300 miles. I don't think you're going to get a 300-mile range one for $45,000, but that's sort of the car. And so I had watched our video that Jordan made on this. I, of course, watched the unveil. And I was like, I heard that Rivian was putting an event on in Normal. was like, I got to go check this thing out if it's going to be there. I got a couple days free, which is very unusual. I wanted to go on a road trip anyway. And not that we haven't done enough road tripping in the last month, but I wanted to drive. You know, we've been road tripping electric trucks. I was like, let me try my Model S because that's just a fantastic road tripper. It's 1,000 miles to Normal. You can do it in a day. And that's what we did. We hopped in the Model S, blasted out to Normal, and that we'll have a full out-of-spec motoring road trip video on that coming soon. However, on the R2, we get to Normal. The event is downtown. It's right in the downtown square, so it's not near the factory. And they have like a circle loop, and they basically bought out the circle loop or rented out the loop and had all of the Rivian products there. They had the local community join, Rivian enthusiasts, and a bunch of Rivian employees were there as well, and they were all giving test drives of the R1S and R1T. R2 was on display, and R3 and R3X. And it was a really fantastic event. So much enthusiasm. Everyone was really excited about the next generation product, but also just as excited as the products that they have today, which are already class leading in many areas. And so, yeah, it was a really, really fun time. Very good vibe, really good people. It was really, really nice.
Very cool. Yeah, I know that, you know, you were saying don't really want to harp so much on the event because it's the product that matters. But of course, the way that the event is presented says a lot. Also, not only with what you're able to interact with, but who you're able to speak with. And that seems pretty cool. In terms of who they had on scene, did you feel like Rivian had the experts that you wanted to speak to learn more about the products and answer any questions that you did have?
Yeah, certainly. For 99% of people and for all current product, you could have any question answered. I mean, they had everyone there from, of course, RJ was there to Brian Gase, who was like employee number 4 or something like that. I've known Brian for a long time as well. He's responsible. He's the chief engineer of all special projects and also prototypes and future products. And I don't really know what the heck he does other than everything, but he's awesome. So, you know, Brian really had all the questions answered for me. And yeah, really nice. They had the people, they had the food, the drinks, the music, live music, great downtown area. Normal's a really nice town. I really enjoyed it. So I've been there a few times, of course, for different things, but spending so much time in the downtown area was really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet it is. And I bet it's really significant for this town to have this automaker come into it and set up shop, try to take off, and then continually do a little bit better.
So I believe it was Mitsubishi that occupied the factory before Rivian, but it was a very low scale, small scale operation in comparison to what's going on now. And it's funny, one of the members of the town council, I don't know, walked up to RJ and RJ was like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, don't worry, we're fixing the housing problem. We're going to build more houses. And RJ's like, great. We need more places for people to live. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Cool. That is really cool. I think someone I knew, they had a Volkswagen back in the day during Dieselgate, and they bought it back from her. And she has a lot of familiarity with Normal. And I think she said that it was like kept in Normal for a while. So, and it was that Mitsubishi place. So a lot of history with some automakers there, and it is significant. I'm sure more people are moving there. And, you know, yeah, you say Rivian is one of your R1T is your favorite product that you own. And I know that you like to try things out and have a useful, functional, to say the least, product on your hands, and for that to be your truck, pretty ideal. Okay, so you had the people there, the environment was friendly and interesting. You had experts to talk to you and answer your questions. Where did you start? What were you able to get your hands on first?
Yeah, well, that's great. Let's just jump into R2 because that's what this podcast is about, and that's what I was able to start with. So I knew some people at Rivian, and they hooked me up with some of the communications people that were at the event, and they said you can come 20 minutes early to film R2. They said it's just going to get there. We're going to be setting up last minute because they're renting a public space, but you know, just show up and we'll try and get you in the vehicle. And it worked out perfectly. Brian took me on a full tour of the vehicle, showed me what I needed to know, what was not quite final, what they're thinking about in terms of, you know, charge port location, should they move it, open to suggestions, stuff like that. Really, really fun. And then they were like, yeah, just go film it. So they let us sit inside. We were one of the very few people who were able to sit inside of the R2, and for most media, they were letting sit inside, but general public, they weren't. And I guess I don't really know why, other than they must just have one prototype and they don't want it to get ruined, because these cost millions of dollars to make. Right. They are not cheap to hodgepodge together. So Yeah, we were very lucky. We were able to sit inside. It's not final, like seat structure stuff still needs a little bit of work, but I was really surprised at how far along it was. This is not necessarily a prototype. This is a designed intent vehicle. So this is like, this is what we're going to build. It's not, here's the future of our ideas and we'll build something similar. It's like, no, this is R2. And that's why I decided to make a video on it and drive all the way out there and film that, because it's more than just a prototype. It's design intent. And I think Rivian does have what it takes to pull it off and bring it to market. So the whole video was filmed out of sequence from my side. So I started inside and then we filmed the exterior at the end of the day. And it was a little bit convoluted, but the vehicle itself, because I don't want this to be as long as the full video was, but the R2, what do people need to know about this, which is... R2 is, when you park it by itself, it feels large. There's a huge back seat. There's a pretty spacious interior cabin up front. Lots of storage, two glove boxes, pull-out storage everywhere. So much storage to the point where I'm like, I don't even know where they would put all of the power electronics in this thing, because it's just everywhere is storage. They don't even put speakers in the doors because there's so much storage there. So wow. I thought that was really interesting. The view out the front was very similar to R1S, or if you've driven a Range Rover, this flat hood that extends out that I feel makes it a very premium look out the front. The switchgear was amazing, especially if we pause there on those scroll wheels on the steering wheel. That totally new HMI with these very high quality haptic interfaces. I would almost say it's like a big digital crown on a watch. It's like so high quality and completely customizable. You can push them, pull them, push them left or right, or scroll them. It's really amazing. I mean, I think everyone's going to copy this. This is really cool. And I was just blown away by that interaction point. I love the innovation on that.
That screen, is really cool.
Both screens are a little bit narrower, sort of shorter in height, but wider. And, just lots of room, lots of space, very comfortable. Really, really enjoyed the interior experience. Big trunk as well. On the specs of the vehicle, it's not finalized yet. We're not sure. I mean, they say $45,000 starting price. We know that's going to be for the single motor. Probably a small battery pack would be my guess, because this is also a high quality vehicle. It's way higher quality than Model Y in terms of material usage and design. And I'm a Model Y fan. I recommend them to everyone. But this just honestly feels like the first vehicle that can compete with the Tesla Model Y. Now, we're comparing a 2026 vehicle to a 2024 Tesla Model Y that's due for a refresh. So exactly. If people are watching in the future, just want to make it clear that Model Y, we don't know what the refresh is yet. And that might give this some tough competition. But right now, this just seems like the clear choice. If they were both available today, you get single motor, dual motor, or tri-motor. It's going to be really spicy. It's going to have a new battery pack architecture, 4695 cell sizing in terms of 46 millimeters by 95 millimeters, which is a big can. It's going to probably have improved charging performance. That was a big thing that RJ and I talked about, that they understand charging is important. Damper. It's going to be very high content if you want it to be, but probably expensive for the top spec.
I'm not surprised to hear that they agree in thinking that charging is important, but did you get any other insight into their plans to improve it?
No.
All righty then. They just know that it's important.
Yeah, that's they know good. It's important. They know what the competition's doing. They know where they want to be. And I think they will. My gut feeling is they're not going to go as hardcore as they should on charging. And I hope they do. But my gut feeling is they're going to make it better. They're going to make the thermals better, because we've hammered them on thermals on R1 and they've improved that through software massively and controls and things like that. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. But overall, it just feels like the right size at maybe 2 years too late. If it launched now, it'd be perfect. The design is incredible. I am not a design guy, but I just think it looks the business. It looks really cool. I'm just going to pull up the page here so people can see the exterior screens. And that's the exact car that I filmed. They only have one, is my understanding.
Right. So now we have up Rivian's. They have an official page for the R2 and the R3, the product lines to come out in the future. 2026 does feel far away, but I'm sure we'll blink and it'll be here. But it will be interesting to see what happens in the meantime while Rivian is preparing to bring R2 and R3 to the market, what other automakers are doing. from Tesla well, that's to everyone
the
thing. Else.
The competitive landscape, this is such a fast-moving industry, is going to look totally different than it does today. And so we're all comparing it to today's specs for a future vehicle. It might be lame by the time it comes out. Who knows?
Oh,
I mean, we might get Zeekers with 500 kilowatt charging for less money than this by the time this thing comes out. I don't know. The world is crazy. But what I will say is Rivian, beyond the numbers on paper, because we always get in the weeds of numbers on paper and things, people don't buy cars based on logic. It's important to remember people buy cars based on emotion. And you know, they can try and look at videos and reviews and numbers to support their want for the vehicle. But ultimately, there has to be something that grabs at you that says, I see myself driving this vehicle. And I think for a lot of people, Rivian took the approach of not making an egg to get maximum efficiency. It's still probably going to be pretty efficient, but they made a vehicle and a lifestyle around adventure, exploring, and doing it sustainably. And that is where a large population of our age group sees themselves, you know, going out, finding new places, having a vehicle that's capable of enabling adventure and fun and places to explore. And I think I know a lot of Rivian owners, even today, that their R1T or R1S is their first ever off-road vehicle. And they take them to the trails and they're doing things and it's unlocked a new passion that they didn't even know they had inside of them. I think we're going to see that with R2, regardless of specs, because of the branding, image, the look, the true capability that it probably will have. It's a spring suspension, not air, but it's still going to be probably very capable in its segment. And to me, I don't even think the numbers matter. They're going to sell every single one of these they can make.
I think that's probably true. In terms of midsize, you know, they're saying this is their going to be their all new then midsize platform. When you encounter these, do you really think midsize when you look at them?
As a single vehicle, I guess the answer is yes, but there's something about the styling. There's something about the interior space, at least on the prototype, that made it feel bigger on the inside in certain dimensions than even their full-size R1S or their large-size R1S. It wasn't until I parked them next to each other and I pulled up, or Brian pulled up the R1S right next to the R2, and I was like, damn, the R2 looks tiny now, and the R1S looks like a monster truck. And I just did not get that impression until I put them next to each other. The R2 felt like just a slightly smaller package than R1S. And it wasn't, like I said, until I parked them next to each other that I didn't notice. And that's crazy to me because R1S feels small, especially on the inside. The three row kind of makes it a little bit tight in there. This is just a two row and you get a huge backseat and a big trunk. And I think this is a great compromise. The R1S, no question, is a higher content vehicle. It's the flagship product. It is, if you can go for it, you're going to love that. It's awesome. But this is certainly a nice price point. My guess is most people will purchase these in the $55,000 to $60,000 price range. You know, sort of high-end Model Y, somewhere around there would be my guess. Because a lot of people are going to want the big battery. They're going to want the dual motor, probably will be the most popular configuration. The tri-motor will be more expensive as the spicy trim. That's the one I'm really excited about. And just can't say enough good things about it. But it's also so early, it's hard to be critical of it because we don't really have hardcore testing data. We don't know what the even final specifications of chassis will be and suspension and battery pack and motors and all of these things. We just have a few targets, a few images, a quick tour, but initially it's looking great.
Yes, I agree. I think it does look great. I think you make a great point about the branding and the market that they're going for. You want to explore the planet and feel like you're not exactly destroying it while you're doing it, which is what a lot of EV drivers do look for. And there's just an adventurous spirit within all generations, but especially that I think our generations are feeding into, and Rivian is connecting with that. So R2, of course, we can only know what we know. You drove around the one, not even prototype, but hopes in the design. And then what about R3? What were you able to see with this line?
Yeah, so R3 is built on an identical architecture, I would say, to R2. It's slightly resized as in smaller, shorter wheelbase, but the electrical architecture, the software, the platform of the vehicle essentially will be shared between R2 and R3. This is a really good approach, and this is also a global vehicle. Both R2 and R3 will be sold overseas outside of the US, which is a massive market for the brand.
Very cool.
And R3 is like the enthusiast vehicle of everyone's dreams. This was not as small as I was expecting it to be. This was bigger than I thought it was in person. So it's really an interesting shape. I think it looks incredible. When I first saw it, I was like, no way. And then I was like, damn, this is so cool. It's like a Lancia Delta Integrale, one of my favorite cars of all time, hot hatch rally car type situation. And so the R3 is sort of the standard one. And then the R3X is the spicy rallycross hardcore one. And the R3X, I mean, you can tell that the enthusiasts, the Rivian fans, even at the normal event, it was always it was heavy traffic everywhere. But around R2 was pretty heavy, but you could not even get close to R3 or R3X, especially. You can tell where the enthusiasm is for the Rivian fans. The big question for me is, is the enthusiast market or the enthusiast fan base of Rivian representative of the total market? And I would say no. I would say R3 is still going to outsell R3X, even though most people love R3X. It's just a practical choice, but I think they needed a halo product. I'm a driving enthusiast, and this, is music to my ears. Certainly will end up in my garage if it is as spicy as they claim. To me, it's going to be between this and the Ioniq 5N. Will be a really fun comparison, maybe even new Model 3 Performance, although that's not a hatch. I love having a really hot hatch. My preference for this after seeing it would be if they actually made it smaller. It's like way bigger than a Volkswagen Golf or something. So I was really hoping it would be, but it is a midsize. It is technically, I think, an SUV. It's still pretty tall, but it's just cool. And I just love that we get more cool cars on the road. I mean, it is so exciting. And the thing for me is I did not film R3 or R3X for YouTube. The only reason is we just don't know when they're going to come out. R2 is the next major milestone for the brand. After that, R3 will come. And so I think it's just a bit too far away to get our audience excited about these vehicles, even though I can't wait. So yeah, I didn't do a full deep dive on them, but I did get to play around with them and they are just cooler than anything else.
Yeah, when I saw the R3X, I immediately was just, I love it. I love how it looks. It looks like something that you should, of course, can rip roar, but also take out into the mountainside, into the countryside. It just has this really appealing profile. I think they picked the best color for it to present this to the world. I really think it's exciting. And with this line, I know that we're just going to have to see what happens with R3, but it's something to keep people, a light at the end of the tunnel as Rivian carries on. And I think it's a great way to go. It makes me really just wish that other companies who already had their foothold in this space of off-roading, whether it's like on the beach or in the countryside or on dirt roads, but obviously heavier ICE internal combustion engines, I wish that they had just stepped over into this space. Because if Rivian does hit these, even, maybe just a home run, maybe not necessarily out of the ballpark, but if they do well with these, it's going to be amazing. I would love to see more competition in this space, basically. And I wish that the other, Subaru comes to mind. Like, Subaru could run with this kind of idea, but they don't. And like, their whole thing is about Subaru love and the environment and dogs. And it's like, okay, run with this. It's just a little sometimes frustrating. I'm like, it would be so great to see more competition from these automakers that have so much potential.
Yeah, well, no question. Totally agree with you. Rivian hired a lot of people, or at least a group of people from Apple to do with branding, marketing, stuff like that. And it shows. I certainly love an ecosystem. I love a product that has purpose. And I think it's much more important to have really great technical specifications, yes, but even more important to have something that inspires you to do something. And no question, every Rivian product does that better than any other automaker out there. I mean, so maybe like a GT3 RS, you're like, I'm going to the racetrack. I'm going to go to track days. This is fun. It's a new thing for me to get into. But this is daily usability. It has the right image. It's got the right specs. I mean, I don't think people are going to be wanting any more than what this vehicle offers. And of course, they back it up with an incredible software package that is supported throughout the vehicle life, which most cars are not. We still have to remember, most cars don't get over-the-air software updates, even in 2024. which is mind-blowing to me, but we live in our little bubble. And I mean, they're just nailing it. So there's the whole product portfolio, the family, R1T, R1S, R2, R3, and R3X. They're missing all the vans, of course, but that is one hell of a product portfolio. And I don't really think there's anything I would want more other than maybe like a convertible sports car from Rivian or something.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, I do love to see it. I really wish them the best of luck. And it makes me think, okay, so we have the R1T, we have the R1S. R2 is coming sooner, technically. R3 is in the future. We can be hopeful about it. But with this announcement, you know, people actually got to see it, two different R2, R3 events. What is going to come next? Are we just kind of going to wait to see what they actually begin to deliver? Are they going to, you think, host more events to say, this is what we're doing? Or is it kind of like, okay, we'll present maybe our plans with our current products, R1T, R1S, and then that'll give you an idea of what R2 will be like. What do you think? What's their approach into the future?
Well, it brings a good point because, you know, if we remember just a few weeks ago, Rivian was down in the dumps with their news story. And you have to remember, a lot of this is around perception and controlling the message and timing of releasing your statements. And so I'm fascinated, of course, from a business side of how are they communicating what they want to do. And I actually talked to RJ a little bit about this. I'm like, why did you announce R3 already? Because my viewpoint is they got the layoffs, the stock price. Well, I don't follow the stock so much, but they got all the bad stories out. Then the week later, it was right back up to excitement with R2 was the expected launch. And then it was like, holy smokes, R3, R3X, companies doing crazy cool things. We're in the midst of that right now. Then R1 refresh is coming in just a few weeks. Within a month from now, I should have driven it and we'll have videos on the refresh R1 line, which I'm very excited about, as is everyone else. And then what do we do for a year and a half or 2 years? Then it's bad stories. We're back to production ramp issues. We're back to supplier negotiations. We're back to, you know, stuff. And of course, they can send software updates and little customer activations and little things. But it seems like they are getting all the good stories out right now, all the positive media, the positive press. They were down in the dumps and now they're going to have the highest peak in terms of coverage. What's it going to be after we're through the refresh? This is my question. It can't just be new product, new product, new product. It has to be where the hard yards coming to build the stuff. And that's not exciting to the customer base. So it's got to be a clear decision to say, now's our moment to shine. This is where we leave a lasting impression. And we're going to ride that lasting impression for a couple years. That's my impression.
Interesting approach. Yeah, I feel like it's just going to be continuing to prove what they do have, because that is what matters. That's what the actual ammo is to fight against bad headlines or bad news. Okay, so I guess we'll wait and see what other events they put on. Maybe they'll do something exciting. Of course, the refresh will be very exciting. So these things like that. But also, I think you can only ride that wave for so long. But maybe that doesn't really matter because they are going to focus on what they're going to deliver. But there is quite the timeline between then and now. But you also got to drive the van, which we will talk about on another podcast, the Rivian delivery van. Y'all have probably heard about Amazon and Rivian and also just the fleet electrification that is happening with delivery vans. We see them all the time in our neighborhoods, from your mail driver to getting those packages from your online shopping. So that'll be a fun conversation that we'll continue to have, but I'm interested to know what you're going to talk about regarding the van. But R1T, R1S, R2, R3, R3X, you can go check out the deep dive details from that event on the Out of Spec Reviews channel from Kyle. But this was a nice brief overview. I would love to be able to check these out in person. It seems fun. And the Rivian community is very enthusiastic and passionate. And I hope that that can bleed out into other parts of the EV space as well, because I do think it is really fun. And I like their approach. So thanks, Kyle, for coming out of the pod and diving in.
Happy to. Really fun. And yeah, truly a great time in Normal. It was great hanging out with everyone. And they had the right people at the event. And we just got so lucky with getting all the videos in. It was really, really fun.
Yes. Yes. Appreciate them for helping you to, you know, get in there early and get us some more details, because you know we love it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you have any questions, let us know in the comments. Also, head over to the videos that Kyle did, because maybe they're answered there. And we'll see you next time soon on an Out of Spec podcast. I hope you have a great day wherever you are. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.